Well, I'd like to turn in the scriptures to Mark's Gospel and chapter 2. And we're going to be reading a well-known account of a miracle that our Lord Jesus performed when he was walking on this earth. And it's good that we can come together and read this. It's in Mark's Gospel and chapter, I said chapter 2, in fact I meant to say chapter 3. Thank you. Chapter 3. It actually happened. It's not a story. It's not a fictitious account, as it were. It's not something that we can think that in any way it's untrue. No, it's a truth that we're reading tonight because Jesus was there. Hallelujah. So we're looking at Mark's Gospel in chapter 3, and we're going to read down to verse 12. And he, that's Jesus, entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there that had a withered hand, and they watched him to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he saith unto him, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked around about them with anger, being grieved in the hardness of their hearts, he saith to the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and the hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. But Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea, and from Jerusalem, from Idumea, and from beyond the Jordan. And they about Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude, when they had heard the great things he did, came unto him. And he spake to his disciples that a small ship should wait on him, because of the multitude, lest they should throng him. For he healed many, insomuch as they pressed upon him for to touch him. As many as had plagues and unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him, and cried, saying, thou art the Son of God. And he straightly charged them that they should not make him known. Well, there we have an account of a miracle that our Lord Jesus did, despite the opposition. Hallelujah. Isn't it lovely that we can come before the Lord tonight, despite the opposition, and we can come freely into the house of the Lord and worship him. And a little later I'll be looking at another parable. In fact, it will be a miracle that our Lord performed. Well, I want to talk tonight about these miracles of our Lord. We've seen from chapter 3 that indeed there was opposition. In fact, they were wondering how they might accuse our Lord Jesus Christ. What a situation to be in. And yet, he went forth undaunted as people came to him. Here we see a man in verse 3 of the chapter we read, and he has a withered hand. Something that our Lord took compassion upon. And he spoke to that man, and he said, stand forth. And as that man with the withered hand was standing there, we find now that he is addressing those who were seeking to accuse him. Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day, or to do evil, to save life or to kill? So, battery of questions there that our Lord put forth. And instead of answering loudly and audibly, they were silent. But they held their peace. And we find here that Jesus was angry. But when he had looked around about them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto that the man, stretch forth thine hand. That man who had a withered hand, who was unable to stretch it forth at the word of Jesus, he stretched it forth, and his hand was restored whole as the others. What a miracle. And we find there that not only did Jesus perform a miracle on that man with the withered hand, but he spoke, and indeed that whole miracle, I believe, spoke to the Pharisees who were there, those who were seeking an occasion to accuse him. And with that in mind, I'd like to read now some verses in chapter 2 of Mark's Gospel. And here in verse 1 he says, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many as were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man speak such blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, inasmuch as they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. May the Lord seal the blessing of his word into our hearts tonight. I want to talk about this miracle because it really brings out certain aspects of the gospel in this. Hallelujah. And for the simple amongst us, including myself, I want to illustrate this with a surveyor's measuring stick here. And just to illustrate, in fact, that the sorts of houses they had in the time that our Lord Jesus walked on this earth, they were not like our houses with pitch roofs like that, were they? But they were indeed, they had flat roofs. And this is really the town scene or the village scene, particularly in Capernaum that we have, that our Lord Jesus was actually inside a house. And that house was actually, it was so many people in it, there were people even sort of coming out the door. And such was the popularity of the presence of our Lord Jesus. When it was noised abroad, it says here, when it was noised abroad, that he was in the house. There were so many gathered, in so much as, not so much about the door. It was what a scene. And I suppose we could sort of picture it in our minds. But there we have coming those men who are carrying that man who was sick of the palsy. There were four of them, and there they were. They were carrying that bed along, four of them, like stretcher, I suspect. I don't know how they were manhandling it. But what I do know, that when they came, and they came to the door of the house, they couldn't get in. There were so many people there. And I wonder whether you've ever been and can be confronted with a crowd of people. Now, those sorts of houses in the days that our Lord Jesus was on this earth, not only did they have a flat roof, but they had a staircase outside. I grew up in a house that had an outside toilet. Well, this had an outside staircase. And these men, with their stretcher, they managed to manhandle this man who was sick of the palsy. And they managed to get him up that staircase. And they got him onto the roof. Now, I don't know how they managed to do it, because no doubt the construction of that house was such that it was laid out on that sort of patio, that terrace, or whatever it was on the top. But it was a construction such as they could actually dig into the roof and try and take away the various components and tiles or laths or whatever it was that was actually holding up the roof. And they made a hole. And if this house was crowded out, we could imagine being there ourselves. And suddenly, there's sort of stuff falling down perhaps, a crowd, people perhaps moving away, and suddenly daylight appears. And there we have perhaps people peering down through that hole. We can only conjecture about that. But what we do know is that somehow that man on his bed was sort of let down through that hole. How it happened, we don't know, but it was let down and to Jesus' feet. What a situation that was. Down came this man on this bed, and here he was at the feet of Jesus. Now, this is where we need to understand that each one of us, if we haven't already done so, we have to come, as it were, to the feet of Jesus, to the foot of the cross. We have to come in that humble and contrite situation and realize that we're sinners, that we are in need of help. Now, this man on the bed was in need of help. He was sick of the palsy, and he was debilitated. He was on his bed. And I could say to you that that bed, as it were, represents a bed of sin, a bed of sickness. It's a bed that man seemed to be stuck to, as it were. He was unable to get up. There he was, on that bed. And I would say to you that we who are in sin, we are perhaps luxuriating, enjoying, relaxing, as it were, reclining in our sin. Sin perhaps is an attractive proposition, and it's very difficult to actually get up and get out of it. Well, we can't of ourselves. There's nothing we can do, even if we wanted to try and separate ourselves. There's nothing we can do. It's only what Jesus can do, what Jesus has already done on the cross, that in coming to him that he can actually do for each one of us. And so this man was brought to the feet of Jesus. And do you notice the first thing that Jesus said to him? It wasn't actually to heal him of his sickness. In verse 5 it says, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Jesus, first of all, in this case, dealt with the man's sin. And that is the very thing that we need to have dealt with by Jesus. And because only he can deal with it. Only he is the one who can speak to us in that way. In fact, that was what the scribes realized, because they said, "Who is this? What is this man speaking blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?" They were right. It's only God who can forgive sins. What they fail to recognize, and this is again what the sinner perhaps fails to recognize, is that Jesus is the one who can forgive sins. If the scribes had understood that Jesus is God, then they would not be considering that he was speaking blasphemy. He was quite in order and quite had the authority to speak the things that he spoke. And only Jesus has the authority to forgive sins, because he's the one who paid the price for our sins. Hallelujah. The Lord Jesus then spoke to this man, and he said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Now, I don't know, perhaps I'm reading too much into it, whether this was a young man in Jesus speaking to him as son, I don't know. But what we do know, that those scribes, questioning, they actually didn't speak their doubts, did they? They were reasoning in their hearts. And in verse 8, and immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, that needs to speak to us tonight, that God knows the very thoughts that we're thinking. He knows our heart condition, doesn't he? Jesus knew what was in their hearts. Why reason ye these things in your hearts, he said. My word, what a revelation. Jesus knew what was in the hearts of those scribes. And he knows what's in our heart. He knows we can put a front onto other people. We can smile when inwardly we're scowling. We can do all sorts of things, can't we, to put on a front. Jesus knew what was in their heart. And then he gave this reason, whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Now this is really the manifestation here of the Lord himself, is that this man was brought to Jesus so that Jesus might be made manifest as being the Lord God Almighty. That the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He was the Son of Man, the Son of Man, of course. We are perhaps a Son of Man or a daughter of man. But having said that, it was only him, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who is able to forgive sins, was able to, and is able to. Hallelujah. Only Jesus, praise his name. And so he says to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And so we have the sick of the palsy actually responding to the Lord. And immediately he rose and took up his bed and went forth before them. There he was. He'd folded up his bed, as it were, and went off. He was able to walk. He was no longer sick of the palsy. He was completely healed. He was made whole. Hallelujah. But the best thing of all is not just the physical healing, but he was healed of his sins. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Hallelujah. So that man could rise up in confidence and walk. Hallelujah. Through them, before them all, insomuch as they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Can I say to you that if the Lord is calling you to arise, if he's calling you and confirming that your sins are forgiven as you come before him in that broken state, realizing that you're on your bed of sin, are you prepared to respond to him? Are you prepared, like this man did, to arise immediately before the Lord, to, as it were, take up your bed? It's no longer required. It's no longer doing anything, is it? You're able to walk. Hallelujah. And indeed, that bed is redundant now. Just as sin no longer has dominion over you, if you're a child of God, hallelujah, and you can walk worthy because of what Jesus has done on Calvary's cross. And all who saw it, they glorified God. They were amazed. And indeed, that will be the reaction of those around as you give glory to God, that they too will glorify God. They will be delighted that you too are now saved. Hallelujah. That you've come to the Lord Jesus and you've come under the blood of the Lamb. Oh, we never saw it on this fashion. What a situation that must have been, mustn't it? In that crowd, it crowded out that crowd. Couldn't do anything. But those four men were persistent, weren't they? And I believe that this is, perhaps you've been brought today, or you've come. Hallelujah. I was brought to a Billy Graham crusade. Hallelujah. Which I rejoice in, because I came before the Lord with asking for forgiveness of sins and believing what the Lord Jesus had done, even at a very early age. And the Lord was gracious and he saved me. Praise his name. And indeed, this man, sick of the palsy, as he was, that was his previous condition. But now, as we've just finished reading this account, he was able to take over there, to walk off, as it were. He went forth before them, and he brought glory through the crowd that he was walking through. They were glorifying God and giving him the praise. I would say tonight that that is the condition of each one of us. We are sinners. Some of us have already come to the Lord and we've rejoiced in that. And may we continue to give God the glory. But there may be some who have never responded to the gospel call. And there is a dire and vital need for that to happen. Even tonight, while there is yet time. Well, may the Lord seal those few thoughts to our heart tonight.